The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Well, welcome to our new year. I really like Advent. It feels as it's really the beginning of that holiday energy. But as traditional and Catholic Christians, we aren't to start celebrating Christmas quite yet. Advent is a season of preparation. And so we are encouraged to restrain our celebrations for a little while, which is difficult considering that the majority of the people in this country are going full steam ahead into the holiday festivities. Yet this misses an important opportunity, an important reality. That's the reality of contrast. When one goes from party to party to party, everything tends to run together. There's no distinction in our experience. Besides that, every one of us in our lives experience sadness as well as joy. That's just the reality of life. And so the church calendar recognizes that same thing, that there's a time for mourning and a time for feasting. We're not yet to the time of feasting. So even though the whole world is going full steam ahead, temper your celebrations a little bit. There is a time for joy and mirth, and there is a time for mourning and brokenness. In this life, we go through all of it. Change and distinction is vital to us as human beings. Thus, Advent, the time in which we prepare for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But what does this really mean? Is this merely some abstract preparation for some abstract coming? Dr. Robert Kraus, who refers to St. Thomas Aquinas, notes that in Advent, Jesus Christ comes to us in three dimensions. These are the coming of the Son of God incarnate, in the flesh, historically. His coming in mente, in our souls, now by grace, and his coming ad judicium, at the judgment, at the end, and as the end of history. Kraus continues, paramount in our Advent lessons is that second dimension, Christ's advent in mente, the present coming of the Word of God in our souls by grace. If you were to look at the lessons from that standpoint, you would notice that in each case, the epistle lesson underlines the present reference of the gospel lesson. So in Advent, we are both aware of the historic and apocalyptic Jesus. He came in the past in the incarnation. He will come again to judge both the quick and the dead. Both of these have parallels in our present individual lives. Christ has come to us, been given to us in our past baptism. And then Christ will judge us at the end of time. And by his unmerited grace, our salvation will be completed, and we shall be glorified like him. In the meantime, Christ comes to us moment by moment. He calls us to continual repentance and obedience so that we might ever grow in holiness. We daily put on Christ in our souls, which putting on manifests itself through our attitudes and actions. In our gospel lesson today, we read of the triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem. And this seems an odd selection. Wouldn't it be better used on Palm Sunday? But this indeed is the traditional first Sunday of Advent reading. The point here is that this selection is that it emphasizes the coming of Christ to us, not just as a historical reality, but as a picture of how Christ comes to each one of us. First, we may welcome him to our souls with shouts of Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. But then also we must do some soul work. Do we really intend to allow Jesus into every part of our soul? Or is this merely a pleasantry to soothe our consciences? Will we let Christ into some parts of our hearts, but shut him out of other areas that we want to keep for ourselves? Of course, because we harbor thoughts and imaginations and deeds that do not honor him, we do not want him to be involved everywhere in our lives. Yet Jesus will be Lord of all of the world and all of each heart. There are no parts of us that he will be content in not reigning over. To keep him barred from our hearts is to lose out on the fullness of his love. What do we mean by this? Well, we see it in the story of Adam and Eve. Before their fall into sin, they were united in the bond of perfect unity, perfect love. They were naked and unashamed, as the scripture says. They did not have to hide anything from each other because of the fear of rejection, for there was nothing in them for which they would reject each other. They were completely visible to one another, and because they completely trusted each other, shame was unknown to them. This is the relationship that God and our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and unity of the Holy Spirit, wants with us. If we shut out those areas that we are ashamed of from him, then he cannot extend the fullness of healing to us, and we cannot know the fullness of unity, the fullness of joy with him. On entering the city, Christ proceeds directly to the temple, the most sacred part of our hearts. And he takes stock of what he finds there, and then cleans house, throwing out the avarice and the covetousness and the impurity of which we are so fond. There is to be only one Lord in this city, and that Lord will not share his reign with our pet sins. It is written, "My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it the den of thieves." Advent then begins by asking us, will we welcome Christ into every part of our lives, every part of our hearts? Will we let him clear out and renovate them as he will? We all have besetting habitual sins to which we are blind. Christ will come in and reveal these sins to us, and we must let him, for we have incurred moral debts that we fear to pay and that we are ashamed to face. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. So begins today's epistle lesson. As this passage continues, we are challenged with the primary theme of Advent. Our souls need to be cleaned out to become fit for our Lord Jesus Christ to take up residence. But we have become complacent and comfortable. We have become familiar with those besetting sins. We can manage them okay. Let's not rock the boat. But the epistle continues that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Advent, thus, is a spiritual kick in the head. At the end of St. Mark chapter 13, we read, "For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping." The judgment of Christ is coming, as surely as he comes to us in each moment of the day. and yet we are sleeping. Let us listen to the epistle that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. It is time to leave our sleep, our complacency behind, and to recommit to a spiritual seriousness in our lives. Christ is coming. Be ye prepared. And the language of this epistle is incorporated into our Advent collect, which the prayer book instructs us to pray every day of Advent. We read it this morning. We prayed it this morning. Almighty God, give us grace that we may cast away the works of darkness, straight from the epistle, and put upon us the armor of light, again from the epistle. Now in the time of this mortal life in which thy Son, Jesus Christ, came to visit us in great humility, that in the last day when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the quick and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal. So daily we are reminded to cast off our sins, for they are not harmless. They separate us from the love of God. They create a barrier to the joy of union with our Lord. Sin is serious. We must not condone it as a benign, rather cute little tumor of which we have actually grown quite fond. No, sin is a life-threatening cancer that must be excised. Cast it away. Cast far away the works of darkness. Simultaneously, though, we pray to put on Jesus Christ. Focus upon him, upon his love for you, so that you would better learn that union with Christ is the source of all true joy. We are not only fighting against sin, but we are embracing the only thing that can genuinely satisfy our deepest longings. Advent shakes us out of sleep and reminds us that as the Lord Jesus Christ comes to us continually, so therefore we actively flee from sin and embrace his grace, his presence in our lives. Now, these theological concepts are certainly important. They provide a framework for understanding what we are about in this season. But what does this practically mean for us? How do we incarnate them? How do we embody them? First, understand that the Christian lives in repentance. Lives continually confessing the selfish desires that we have so that they may be removed, along with continually seeking to be filled with Christ's righteousness, putting on the armor of light. During Advent, therefore, spend time daily asking God to reveal your sins to you and then let Christ in. Confess them and receive the forgiveness of God. As your priest, I am always available to hear confessions as well, which is a helpful and biblical minor sacrament, and brings the freedom of absolution. Ask or email me if you have questions about this. Along with this, other spiritual disciplines may also be helpful to set this time apart. Fasting from certain foods or ingredients such as sugar or wheat, or other types of intermittent fasting can be helpful to continually remind us of the season. It disrupts our status quo. If you do not currently say daily morning prayer, at least take a minute every day to say the Advent Collect. That's on page 90 of the prayer book, or it's also printed in the bulletins today. You can take those home with you and use that for your prayers. Many people will also read Athanasius's On the Incarnation during Advent, or read the prophet Isaiah, for it is the most messianic of all the books of the Bible. It is quoted most often in the Bible to show how Jesus fulfills the prophecies. As a matter of fact, the quote that we had, well, no, I better verify that before I claim that the quote this morning in our gospel lesson was from Isaiah. It might have been from Zephaniah. There are 66 chapters in Isaiah, so this is a little over 2.5 chapters a day. If you start today, well, probably closer to 3 at this point, and end on the 25th. I also recommend that you commit to coming to church to pray the daily offices with us on Wednesday night at 7 or Thursday and Friday, either in the morning at 8:15 or 4:45. The daily offices are foundational discipline for healthy and lively spiritual formation. Now, if this all sounds reminiscent of Lent, well, you wouldn't be far off. In the East, Advent is called the Little Lent. Both have a similar emphasis on spiritual disciplines. Lent prepares our hearts for the risen Lord to come, while Advent prepares our hearts for the righteous judge and king to come. Lent ends in a sacrifice, a death, the blood work of a priest. Advent, however, ends in a birth, the blood work of a mother. Both usher in new life for us, the former through union, the latter through propitiation and resurrection. Both are absolutely needed, for Christ was first born for us and later gave himself for us. The one does not happen without the other. He first took our human nature into himself and then through his death raised it to the presence of the Father. Now, as time continues on unabated, we never really have a choice to avoid the season. We do have a choice if or how we will honor the season. So how will your Advent be this year? Will you carry on in the same way that you have been doing, or will you embrace a change of habit, shaking yourself out of the trance of the everyday? Ready or not, Christ is coming. May we always be prepared to welcome him. And when Christmas comes, may we eagerly raise our voices to proclaim, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.